Yeah, I want to welcome you here. I want to welcome the video venue, and we're finishing up a series on really just hearing the voice of God, and in a way where it's mentally healthy. You know, a lot of people say they're hearing voices, and we're so respectful, really. I mean, seriously, of that. But that being said, I do think there's the validity of really hearing for you, kind of tailor-made communication with God. You hear news about the economy and you know, where things are better or not better and whatever, and creeping along and maybe getting a little bit better. But yet, for a lot, and still just a whole lot of people, I just read a quote recently, a guy saying, you know, for me, the American dream has become a nightmare. And I know a lot of people kind of feel that way. And I need to just say this with that. God loves us so much, cares so much for each one of us. In fact, this is so weird to think about. He's known about us even before this planet was created. So he loves us. But beware also, even as I say that, be aware of this. Here's another truth. God did not create you to fulfill the American dream. He didn't. God has a much greater purpose for you and for me. In fact, when I get up here and teach, it isn't to just help you to live whatever your definition of the good life is. And somehow, if you sprinkle a little bit of the church thing on whatever your agenda is, I'm not here for that. Because God has something a lot greater for each one of you. Because the American dream tends to be about just acquiring things. God's not against things. He created everything, of course. So he's not against having possessions and whatever, but when that becomes what we become absorbed with, it's, do you remember that old quote, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people that we don't even like. Absolutely. And we can get so caught up in those things, and we become stressed out about those things. And when you come in here in a service, that a lot, you're absorbed with a lot of those things, and I get it, you have bills to pay, I understand all those things, but understand here that God has a vision for your life, and we're going to be able to talk about that over the next few minutes out of a book called Habakkuk, and I'm going to mention that again in just a minute, because that's a brand new word for some of you. Now, in this series, one of the things we learned the first week, we talked about the different types of attitudes to be able to hear the voice of God. There are attitudes that can help foster that or block the voice of God in your life. And one, if you have a closed mind, just forget about it. If you got it figured out and if God's just kind of an option on the shelf, God will respect that in your life if you have a closed mind. Another one is a superficial mind. And we looked at the idea of everything's just kind of based on emotion. And so when you're feeling good emotionally, God's there. If things start to come up and you're starting to feel emotionally down, God's not there anymore. And it's very shallow roots. Another one we looked at is the distracted mind. And I think a whole lot of people are there. And that is, you have so many things burning in the back of your mind that are so critically important that really have to do with the American dream. And so you have all of these things. They're like weeds that grow up around good seed. And then they choke it to where, and then it just kind of dies away. And then the last one is the open mind that says, God, before I even talk to you, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to say yes to whatever direction, whatever thing you have in my life. And that's the open mind, and that's the type of mind that really is going to start to hear the voice of God in their life. And then that was a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, we looked at other filters. Well, how do you know whether it's God's voice or not? And we understood that, you know, this guy, Peter, heard from God on one insight and turned right around and got this insight that was more from Satan. And so how do you know when it's really God and when it's really not from God? And so we talked about filters. If it's consistent with the Bible, if it makes me more like Jesus, if the church family tends to confirm this, you know, if I'm wired to do this, you know, if it's my responsibility, you know, sometimes we're interested in things that really aren't our business. If it's more convicting than condemning, and then if there's an inner peace about this. So those are some of the filters. You can refer to the website. All these messages will be on there, by the way. But I'm just trying to get you kind of caught up as we look at the close of this series, because we're looking at this whole thing about God just doesn't want to talk with us. God has something vitally important to share with us. He has a vision for each one of us, no matter where you're at, no matter what your age is, no matter what stage of life you're in. You'd be amazed what kind of vision God can have for you and what kind of future God can have for you. Because some of you think, well, I've lived too long, you know, I've already made my choices, already made my decisions, and that would be a wrong conclusion to come to. I mean, do any of you remember that guy named Colonel Sanders? You remember him? And how old he was when he came up with this idea of the old family recipe? My goodness. I mean, you'd be amazed what God could do in your life, no matter where you're at, if you just start out with the idea of an open mind, start applying some of these filters. You know, when you think about it, you know, they just had a new story on it, a new telescope that they're building, 24 feet wide lens or whatever, and it's going to be able to see 10 times further than this Hubble telescope. And then when you think just how big all of that is, and then when you really think about, there's a God that created all of that that really is interested in talking with me personally? I mean, what's that all about? And that's what we have here today, with this miraculous book, by the way, called the Bible. Phenomenally, phenomenally creative, and the idea how this book was ever compiled is just a miracle in itself. So there's a little tiny book, called Habakkuk, and if you open up your Bible kind of in the middle, you'll kind of end up in a place called Psalms, and then you just kind of turn right. And if you have my version of the Bible, kind of two-tone color like this, it's on page 863. So there you go. So whatever you need to do, table of contents, you can kind of filter and skim through this while we're looking at this. And I'm going to make sense of this book for you because it is very ancient literature. But the thing about this book, it's only like three little chapters long. I recommend you to read it. It's because if you ever get to heaven, I just want to save you from an embarrassing situation. If this guy Habakkuk comes up to you and then he says, hey, did you read my book? It's in the Bible. You're going, what? There was? So I'm helping you with that right now, okay? So you can just kind of skim through that if you want. But we're going to walk through some of this together. But the book of Habakkuk, what's going on when he wrote this book, there's this gigantic economic recession going on in the whole country. Huge hardships. I mean, you know, things are being described as historic. We've heard that a few times, have we not? Historic things, not since whatever, you know. And two, the people are out of work, and many of them are actually at a point of starting to starve. There's constant conflict. There's people are at the borders, and terrorists are attacking their country. It sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? And some of the stresses that people are going through and having. And so in the whole first chapter here, Habakkuk, one of the things I notice, he's so candid and honest with God. I mean, he's talking to the God who created the whole universe, and there's no groveling and you know, almighty God, don't strike me dead. He's talking to him as if God is one of his family members, and that's a great place to be. And he just starts asking these questions. You know, verse 2 says, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? I mean, we don't start prayer that way usually, do we? And so there's a tremendous honesty here. Questions, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Why is this taking so long? And how do I put up with all of this stuff? And are you out there at all? Those questions sound familiar to any of you? Have you ever resonated with stuff like that? And chapter 2 then, it's like, and some of you might relate with this too. Okay, I have vented now. I'm feeling a little bit better. And so now I'm ready to listen. And that's where chapter 2 comes in. And he says, I'm going to wait and really see your vision. And that's where God responds. Notice God never condemns Habakkuk for his honest communication. He doesn't say, well, you need to talk with me with a little bit more respect, young man. He doesn't say anything like that. He says, I heard it. Thank you. You're really clear. And you said you're ready to listen. Thank you. And I have six or seven things. And I think I put it down in seven on your notes here. So this is what we're going to look at together, just very simply, some principles that are going to help you, this whole idea of not only hearing the voice of God, but discovering God's vision for your life. This is really important stuff for you, because you could just go through life thinking that what you know best, you know, what's best for me and my family? Think about that. Have you always done what's best for your family? Has God ever had to bail you out when you think, I'm smart, I'll do what's best for my family? And you go, oh, yeah, yeah, I know I messed up there. You have a whole lifetime of doing that. So do I. And if you think you're smart enough just to figure this out and just do, well, I just think it seems like a good thing, best thing. No. You'd better humble yourself enough to figure out, hey, either this God thing's real, this God of this universe is real. Habakkuk really believed it. That's why he's talking to him as a real person, isn't he? God, why are you, God, you know, if I had to come to the conclusion, you sure seem like a flake right now. Where are you? Amen. See? Wouldn't that be great to end a service that way? And God, I'm just not feeling it today, brother. Amen. Okay, folks, see you next week. Yeah? All right. So, but yeah, this is in the Bible, and God allowed it. He's saying, I'm real, you guys. Don't talk to me like some weird floating cloud somewhere, and then talk to your human buddy who's going to be here and gone in a few years as if they're real and I'm not. And so, chapter 2 is this whole idea of listening and getting clarity on things. And maybe you need clarity, maybe you need vision on a job. Or career, or a future spouse, or parenting, or marriage, or you know, relational stuff, finances, health issues, maybe spiritual direction, all kinds of things. And so look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And this is, sometimes I'll have initials here, and this is called the New Living Translation. So I use a Very translation sometimes. And so if you just have one Bible, it's the same meaning. Sometimes they use just a little varying to get a little bit more clarity on it. And so it says this, I will climb up into my watchtower now and wait to see. Now, in cities, they had these big tower things where the guards kind of were at. And he was kind of like, and you could see from a distance what was going on. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to wait and see what the Lord will say to me. It was also an isolated place. And so he's up there. He's not going to be interrupted. And it's going to be a place that he can be absolutely alone. See what the Lord will say to me and how he will answer my question. And it goes on to say, then the Lord said to me, write my answer in large, clear letters so that a runner can read it and tell everyone else. See, sometimes God's going to give you insight, and it's not just for you. Because maybe there are other people, believe it or not, maybe there are other people going through something similar to you. Because when we're hurting and we have problems, you know what we tend to do? We tend to isolate ourselves and think we're the only ones really dealing with some of these things. And I've just been amazed and shocked when I've gotten up front and I've talked about things at how many people will come up afterwards and say, man, that's just really right where I'm at right now. And God knew that. So write it in large, clear letters so everyone else, tell everyone else, but these things I plan won't happen right away. Type A's hate to hear that, okay? Slowly, steadily, surely. And type A's are going, no. Why not just right now? I mean, after all, I can get on Wikipedia right now, get an answer to my question right now. Come on, God. You're God. You're bigger than the internet. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place, and, it says, it will not be delayed. It's just not going to fit into your agenda, your way, and you don't have the prerogative to say, God, I want you to fulfill your vision in my life in this way and in this timeline. So hop to it. Okay? And then take care of whatever galaxy you want to take care of. You know, it doesn't really work that way. So let's start writing some of these things in then. If you really want God's vision in your life, really just need to want it. I know we're kind of in the football playoffs right now, and one of the little platitudes you hear from these guys all the time is, well, the team that really wants it is going to win today. And that's just not true. It's just not true. It could be a fluky, bad call from a ref. It could be a random slip, a piece of turf that, you know, slips out from someone. It could be a lot of different things. He did not want to slip, and the ref maybe did not want to make that bad call unless he's reffing an Oakland Raiders game, okay? So, See, it's never the Raiders' fault. I'm telling you that right now. It's just everyone's against the world when it comes to the Raiders, okay? And there's another team, I think, still alive playing, so that I've thoroughly distracted everyone. But this idea, you have to want it. The point is, you're not going to hear from God, listen, unless you really, really, really want to. And if it's kind of just a pleasant hobby, says, oh, I can get a little something from this just once in a while, but it doesn't really deal with real life. God will respect that. But it's not what it is here. If it's something to where it's going to be up for debate or discussion, it says, God, would you lay out, God, I'm inviting you in, and I want you to give a presentation of how you see the vision for my life. And then afterwards, we'll discuss this, and I will, parse it. I might redact it a little bit. And who knows, I might even apply some of this to my life, God. So you just come by and just let me know what you're thinking. I have an open door policy, but, call ahead of time. All right. If it's that type of thing, it needs to be like this. I want to hear what the Lord says. That's Psalms. Some of these are all in Psalms. My God, I want to do what you want. Again, you're hearing this throughout the Psalms. What I want most of all and at all times is to honor your laws. And this idea is a very ancient concept, and it filtered out throughout the Mediterranean world. In fact, a lot of people, it happened a lot later, but there's a story with, one of my degrees, philosophy, and Socrates. There's a parable about Socrates, ancient Greek philosopher, and one of his students, and he asked, how can I get wisdom? And Socrates didn't really answer that, but they're walking along the beach. And he says, basically, I need you to trust me. And he says, I want you to walk out into the waves a little bit more, and I want you to not resist me, and I need you to trust me. And it was an honor to be with Socrates, and he had a one-on-one company with him. Do you feel that way with God? If you're able to get a one-on-one appointment with God, he goes, yeah, I will meet you directly. Let's say you have a flaw in a product, and the Samsung or whatever, and you hear from the CEO of Samsung and says, I would like to meet you at Starbucks and talk about your complaint. Wow. But Socrates said, will you trust me? Took him out to the waves, and he submerged him under the water, and he just held him there. And this guy was calm at first, but then finally he defied Socrates, and he fought his way to the surface again, and he got to the beach, and he's spitting out water, and he's laying there, and he's gasping for air. And Socrates basically said this, when you want wisdom as much as you want your next breath, you'll get it. It's true. And that's really the point here for this whole series. It's this kind of a quaint, that's a good thing to do once in a while, but it doesn't near come close to real life issues. Those things that absorb my greatest talent, my greatest attention, my greatest time. When you really want God's vision for your life as much as you want air, or as much as you want financial security, at the least, you will hear from God. When you get that desperate, you're going to hear from God. Now, most people just talk to God, but they don't really listen back. What if their marriage is that way? It'd look kind of weird, huh? Whenever you have around, and you always have one person talk all the time and the other person never talk at all. Have you ever seen that? I have been around situations that appeared like that, where, the one person did all the talking and the other person just kind of sat there. And I would ask the other person a direct question, and this person would answer for him. Go, that's a good question. I think what they mean by that, and then, but even in a one-on-one, if it was always just one person talking to the other person listening, I don't know, maybe that works for some of you. I don't know. But it's not a real relationship. Listening is so important. If you search with all of your heart and soul, you will find him. So you need to want it. And how do you do this? Part of the other thing you see that Habakkuk did is withdraw. So would you write that down too? You need to want it. You need to withdraw. And what does that mean? How do you do that? I will climb up into my tower. In fact, it says also of Jesus, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He got away to where he wasn't distracted. You know what I think that means for us? This is going to be a big step for some of you, and I know it's going to be a big withdrawal. You need to shut off your electronic devices. I mean, not just mute, not just shut the little light off, not have it on vibrate. I mean, really, there's this idea called shut it off that is available on your electronic devices. And you know, and for some of you, you can't be in the room where your computer or where your television is and do your quiet time. You can't. Because while you're in there, you're going to kind of be praying. You might eye the remote, or you might go, oh, no, I got that program. You know, it's going to be recording. Then you look at your DVR. Oh, yeah, the red light's going on. Okay, God, back to you. Because you don't want to miss your program. I get it. I'm not against that. All I'm saying is there's so much that can just inundate our minds these days. Everyone wants to give you alert. Isn't that true? You know, can we sign up our Twitter thing for you and pop it up on your phone all day long? None of this stuff's bad in itself, except when it fights your attention to get with God. I've used this story before. John Wesley's a great spiritual leader in 1700s, but his mom, they were in a household of 26 children, actually birthed by her. This is a great woman. And you know how she did a quiet time? She had control of that household, and she had older kids. Really, the only way she could get a quiet time is she would have a time 2 o'clock every day. She would sit in the kitchen on a wood chair. She had a long apron, and she would pull the apron up over her head, sitting in that wood chair in the middle of the kitchen. And all the kids knew at that time, do not mess with Mom. That was Mom's quiet time. And so, you know, this idea that you can't withdraw, you can. You can withdraw. You can get away. And if you really want to hear from God, you know what? You need to do that. Some of you, the way you're dealing with stress and things, you're practically as if God doesn't even exist. And you become so isolated. I'm telling you, you need to connect with God. Find a quiet, Matthew 6:6, this is in the Message version. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. And focus. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. So write this in. Remember, God wants to meet with you. Really does. He desires to meet with you terribly. And so talk with Him about everything. He's interested in everything. He really is. Mention everything that's on your mind. God cares about every detail of your life. It's kind of like now that we have grandkids, Pam and I, in our life, it's kind of like rediscovering some of these old memories, like a brand new baby. And when you have a brand new baby, you see Mom, you know what? She wants to discover every single tiny detail of that baby. Isn't it true? So sometimes that little baby will be there, and she'll be spreading the toes around. Oh, look. See the crease? Look at that little toe. That's just like Grandpa so-and-so. He has a curved toe just like that. And every wrinkle, every little thing about that little baby, they want to discover. That's how God loves you all. Did you know that? He wants to know everything about you. He's interested in everything in you, but you need uninterrupted time. So you need to want it, and you need to withdraw. And then, this is hard for us, but you need to wait. Wait. I need to want it, withdraw, I need to wait. I must. Now, what does that mean? I need to calm my emotions. And I so respect you all getting in here, and especially getting in here, you know, on time. You know, and whenever you get here, I just appreciate that, because I know the accomplishment it is for some of you. But when you come in, you're usually not relaxed. You're usually a little bit frazzled and getting in and getting settled down and finding a place to sit. And go, no, I don't want to sit here. I'm going to sit over there. And, you know, all of these things, you know, but I must calm my thoughts and my emotions if I'm going to hear from God, because our minds tend to race. I know this one very well. There's constant stimulation. Write this down. It's not on your notes. This is a quote from Pastor Rick Warren. Hurry is the death of prayer. Hurry is the death of prayer. Write that down. You need to quiet your mind, and you can't just quiet your mind really, really quickly. Sometimes when I'm talking with someone and I'm trying to get their ear, and I know how busy they are and how frazzled they are, and then it's just like, okay, I'm ready to listen. And I know they're not. Their mind is still going like this, because our emotions, have you ever had one of those salad spinner things, you know, help out in the kitchen sometimes. This is the part I like to do, you know. You know what? You put all that wet lettuce in there, and then you get that thing. You know what I'm talking about? Guys, most guys are going, huh? But there's actually a thing called that, and you spin it around, and the more you spin it, the more it starts spinning on its own, and then the thing starts vibrating across the counter. And if you don't watch it, you know what will happen? I know it will just vibrate right off of the counter all over the floor, and I've had that happen to me a couple of times. So you have that thing, and have you ever tried to stop it just right on a, you know, it just, you get that thing really, 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 really spinning, and then if you try to grab that handle and stop it, it ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Your hand's going to move with that thing because of the momentum. And, you know, you get the inertia and get the momentum going. That's how your emotions tend to be. Now, guys can flip on a dime. This is just kind of a side thing. If you're married and you can be out there all sweaty, all muddy, all dirty, then all of a sudden, you know, your wife just looks great to you just right at that moment, and you're ready to shift gears, and she ain't even close, not even on the same planet. And you're going, what's wrong here? You got to understand that whole emotion thing. I will wait. It says, I will station myself. Now, what does it mean to station yourself? It means to stay put, to not fidget around, to not, if you're sitting there, not be tapping, and then say, just a minute, God, then you get out and you go, oh, you know, I need to check this email real quick. No. You're putting all of that stuff behind. That's if the electricity has been shut off and all of your batteries have been drained from everything. You can't do it. That's what you're doing. It means to stay put. It means to do not move. It means, I don't know if you've ever been to London, Buckingham Palace. They have these guards there that are highly trained. And, you know, and they just stand there and they stand and they just look straight ahead. And they will not react to anything that you say. And they are just stationed there. You need to wait on God. You need to calm your body. I'm not moving, God, until you really connect and talk with me. And it doesn't really have to take that long. So how do you kind of calm your mind? How do you do this? I think it's just as simple. You've got to calm your body. You do. Some of you are kind of addicted to adrenaline in your life, maybe a little bit. But the physical certainly affects the emotional. Would you agree with that? It does. And if you have things going on, your body, as your body relaxes, so your mind can relax. So, you know, so it could be just simple stuff like this. When you take a quiet time with just a wait, and maybe it's just as simple as you just sit there and you take some deep breaths, you know, and you know, there's kind of like, you can just kind of lay your head down like this, and you just kind of, you know, raise it with a real slow breath, and then blow the air out, and you do that just 3 or 4 times. Just learn to relax and calm yourself, and you just sit there and you don't move. You sit there and you don't move. You don't start clicking your pen. You don't move with these things. And the Bible says that David did this. Now, I know there's some of you that you think that prayers where you get on your knees and you fold your hands and you bow your head and close your eyes, you know, that's just one way to pray. You know what? If you had to pray that way, I'll just say for me, if I have to pray that way, I will guarantee you in 5 minutes, I am out. You know? I used to have an early morning men's prayer meeting. They all like to pray that way. And, you know, more than once, they're jostling my shoulder because I'm just out. And I guess I snore. I don't know. They're having this early morning prayer meeting, and I'm just out. You know, there's the most common way of prayer in the Bible. You know what it is? You just kind of have your hands open like this. You're just kind of looking up a little bit and talking out loud. Now, I can stay awake doing that, usually. So, you know, so this is, you know, there's no real set model, but you need to calm yourself. Actually find that it's easier to focus with this stuff, okay? So, and just kind of saying, hey, God, here's what's going on in my life. It really sucks right now, and I don't like this. You know, there's no holy music or anything, and you just share what's on your heart. You don't have to be eloquent or a poet or whatever. And then, I don't know if these words are actually written on your notes. Just 3 parts of this is you need to wait quietly. I wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. You wait patiently. We've already talked about that. Now, I'm not talking about transcendental meditation, you guys. Look, there's always going to be some kind of a flip side. I'm not talking about, the difference is they talk about emptying your mind. This is calming your mind to let God fill your mind. to give you perspective on things. And then expectantly, this is the faith factor where you say, I really expect God to really communicate with me. He wants to and he will. So another one then here, in addition to the three we've just talked about, is to watch. God will give a mental picture. God will give a mental picture. Now, what does that mean? It says, I will look to see what he will say to me. Listen, I'm going to listen to what he will say to me. It says, I will look to see what he will say to me. Now the Eastern mindset was very visual, so even a lot of the language, I actually had a chance to translate the book of Habakkuk in the Hebrew at one time, and it's almost like little hieroglyphs what the Hebrew language looks like, because originally they were all just little pictures. So they're nothing more, the language, written language is nothing more, it goes from right to left, by the way, it's nothing more than visual prompts to put visual ideas in your mind and connect all of those together into larger concepts. And so this is very accurate. He says, I will wait to see what God says. He doesn't say that. I'm going to see what he is saying to me, because God's voice is usually visual. That is, he will paint a picture for us in our minds. He'll give you an idea. He'll give a vision in your mind. He won't just say certain words like GPS. It's not going to be that. You will be nice to the next three people approaching you right now, okay? You're not going to hear some voice like that. But that fourth person, do not be nice to them. Thus saith the Lord, okay? You're not going to hear necessarily, but you're going to get something on this. Now, what, I don't know why this should be a problem, that you can get visions like this from God. I mean, there's an article, Top 5 GPS Apps. Well, how's that getting to you? Something's going on there. And like, you know, I mentioned the Hubble telescope. What's happening there? Something's going on in orbit around our planet, and there is invisible digital data coming down to us that then we can see and go, wow, look at that distant galaxy. Why don't you think God can do this? The Bible has thousands of examples of this. I believe God gave me a vision for New Life Church. I was standing out on the concrete foundation this last week with my wife. And we were looking at I-80 and all the cars going by. And then we turned and looked. And if you notice, there's some great, if you ever get out there, there's some great hills over here. And Pam said, you know, I remember you saying God kind of gave you a thought or a visual image out of Micah chapter 4 on this. It says, you know, you're right. And it says, God basically, what I put in the words was, go out among the hills and I will bring the city to you. And as we're standing there on that foundation and we're looking at all these incredible hills, and right here we're seeing I-80. I mean, how much clearer could that be? Because we looked at 120 different places, at least, it seems like it. Maybe it's a million different places, somewhere in that range. But God had this place that he'd already created when he created the planet Earth. And he knew someday, you know, that crazy little New Life Church, you know, I got a place for them. And old Highway 40 went away, and then I-80 came in at the right time. And, you know, God can talk to us, you all. So you need to watch and see what he has to say. So I suggest to you, ask God a specific question. That's what we've done on a lot of things, is we are told to ask. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. If he's always ready to give bountiful supply of wisdom to all who will ask him. But when you ask him, be sure you really expect to hear from him. It's not a crapshoot. Okay? And then look into God's word for insight and direction, too. Like, that's what happened to me. I was just kind of point. I was wrestling with things. And then it was actually this obscure passage out of Micah chapter 4. It is this whole vision of people from every different ethnic background, all these different tribes and all these nations coming together in one place to worship God together, which is very unusual. It's very unusual, the kind of makeup, the kind of church that we have. You know, we're not the biggest church in Northern California or whatever, but we are very, very unique in a lot of ways. And it was part of God's unique vision as another expression of building his kingdom that he wanted to put together. So You know what that means? Open my eyes so that I may see the wonderful truths in your word. Sometimes that shows the benefit of memorizing some scripture to have in your life, and God can use that and bring that back. Look, you know, if you're a medical doctor, a big part of what you need to prepare to do is memorize. You got to memorize. Look, if you have a surgeon working and says, what's the next step in this surgery? You know, I've got it on Kindle now. Would you get it out? Would you open that up for me? Okay. Step three, you don't want that. You want certain things that they have memorized, they have down, if they're going to work on you, okay? And then you equip yourself and have some of this, God can use that. So this works maybe for you is write it down. This is number five, write it down. I want to hear God speak. I withdraw to a quiet place. I wait patiently and quietly and expectantly. I watch in prayer and I say, God, just give me a picture in my mind. And then, you know, I read the Bible, I ask questions, then I write it down. I write it down. I record the ideas that I receive. This doesn't have to be a scroll. This can be your iPhone or smartphone. In fact, that might be a smart idea to do. The Lord gave me this answer. Write down clearly what I reveal to you. So chapter 2, he writes it down. If you read the Psalms, that's David writing down a lot of his quiet times with God. And it has benefited multiple other generations. I'm not saying you write it down just for that, but that could certainly be the case. I have, in some of my Bibles, I have articles that, like my grandfather wrote. And they've been a spiritual encouragement for me. I have old Bibles from my father who's passed away, and things he's written in the margin of his Bible, and that's been a huge encouragement to me. Sometimes go, oh, my dad went through something like that too, and so you need to write some of these down. You know, is it okay to write down your prayers? Yes, it's just called journaling, and it's a very appropriate way. That might work really well for some of you, and let me give you just some ideas on that. Consider on a page, just get a three-ring binder, whatever you want to get, a composition book, but then maybe on a page, just write a column down in the middle. So you have two, you know, left column and right column. It's not pros and cons, but you can do, different things with that. You can write, like, my thoughts, and then you can write God's responses. That's appropriate. You know, date the page. And it might be you have a lot of your thoughts and not very much on God's responses. You'd be amazed what can happen, though, at different times when you learn to listen to God. Another one is you can write your requests and date it on one column and then the answers to that request. I have journals like that. I have journals from decades now. I'm old enough for that. I have journals, you know, I try to have journals, you know, that, you know, every year or it takes a couple of years sometimes. And I have multiple things, and I can look back on some of those. Sometimes what I've done is I've written my prayer request in black ink and then the prayer answer in red ink. And I could go through some of those journals and just see black ink and red ink, black ink. Because, you know, sometimes it's good to see that when you're going, God, where are you now? And then when you can look back and you forget, oh, wow, that's right, he did answer that prayer. It could be so important. Or you can also, on columns, you can just write yesterday and then tomorrow. You can say, what did I learn from you yesterday, you know, What lessons did I learn from you yesterday, God? And go, it's the same old lesson, you know. Where do I need your help for tomorrow? So there's a lot of different ways you can do that. Write these things down for the future so that people who are not yet born will praise the Lord. We sang a song in the live service here called I Walk by Faith. It's an old song, but it's a great song. And that's really number six, is you just need to put faith to your actions and walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's actually a verse in Habakkuk 2. The steps of a righteous man are led of the Lord, and walk in the light as he is in the light. And so somewhere you just need to apply this. I don't need to go into any more detail on this. Some of you have gotten insight. You just need to do. You get stuck, you need to do. And then the last one here then on this is worship. Oh Lord, now I have heard your report, and I worship you in awe. And I say there's nothing greater than when you do the process, you do the hard work, and you feel like that you've connected with God, and you really feel like you've gotten direction from God. And then you just sit back, and you're just in awe. I have to admit, for me, so much of really, when I really connect with God, do you know what I hear, or what I'm feeling, or what visual I'm really seeing? It's just encouragement. That's what I'm hearing. It's not this, you have nothing wrong in your life, you're the champion of the world. You know, we've raised a whole generation of kids that way. Everyone's a winner at everything all the time. And then they enter the world of competition, and they go, was my mama wrong about me? You know? And the answer to that is sometimes, yep. It's true. But God is encouraging. He's not overseeing. He sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. He knows how flawed we are and how much help we needed. But you'd be amazed how much he cares for us and has direction for us. If we will, this can radically change your life if you will allow it. And you say, does every time when you have a quiet time, does God always speak to you through an impression? My answer is no. He does not. Through the Bible, does he speak to you? Yes, every time. God doesn't speak to you through an impression or through a mental picture. You know, if you're not feeling it, that God's talking to you, maybe you're not, you know that, what's that phrase from the movie? You can't handle the truth, at least not yet. And so God's having to work through you. You're not ready for it, or you need to grow some more. That can happen sometimes, or the timing's not right, or God is just saying, I want you to trust me right now. And so you have those things. Or sometimes, you know what God just says? Use your brain. You know, it's like, God, which car should I buy? Should I buy the new Hyundai or should I buy, you know? He goes, I don't care. I gave you a good brain. Use it. Should I buy American made only or, I don't care. Go for it. And so, you know, so sometimes he just, you know, he wants us to do this. If you want to revolutionize your life, you guys, take this to heart. Apply this series to your life. Look, if you want a change in your life, you'll work on short-term behavior, but it's not going to last. It just won't last. Long-term lifestyle change, you focus on changing the way you think. And that takes a slow discipline. It's like a slow cruiser. You can't just turn on a dime. It takes a while, but God can come in, and we can get the mind of Christ, and we can get a whole new way of looking at things if you'll just stick to it and trust God in these things. You know, every time I study the book of Habakkuk, I remember only one sermon from this, and it's way back when I was early 20s, in fact, college age still. In fact, I was still in college. And it was my wife's best friend, and her name was Melody. And she's actually a theology student like me, only way smarter than me. and she actually, at a Sunday night service, she preached this sermon because we were in the same local church. And one of the things she said, because she's looking at how Habakkuk is kind of haranguing God and going, God, where are you? And all this stuff. And she says, you know, it's okay to ask really tough questions of God as long as you still just remember he is God and that he cares for you. And I have never forgotten that. That's a very powerful thing that she said Sunday night. And little did I know when her and Pam took off to college the next morning that an antelope was going to run in front of their SUV, and the SUV flipped and Melody was killed the very next morning. Wonderful young lady. So all of the stuff there, all of the thing, God, what's your vision? And what, all of these things were emblazoned in my heart and life, and it galvanized a deep, deep reality that our life here is very fragile, and we weren't made for the American dream. We were made for a vision much greater. And my call to you is find God's vision for your life. Find God's vision for your life. Don't mess around. God has blessed many of you to be a father or to be a mother or an aunt or an uncle. This is a high calling. And you can't just raise your kids to balance a budget or give them a good education or whatever, because your own life can hurt your own kids. And you think you love your kids more than anyone else. You don't. God loves them more than you. And your own life and lifestyle can end up damaging your own kids' spiritual future unless you anchored in God. Do that today. Would you do that today? Let's do that today.